Friends, our scripture reading this afternoon is Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. I would invite you to stand, please, and pray with me for the reading of God's word. Spirit of Christ, we pray that you would come, that you would illumine, that you would give us light and grace to see the hope that is found in Christ alone. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? We indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. We don't know much about those two men on the crosses next to Jesus. We're told here they're criminals, the general word for evildoer. They could have been thieves. They could have been robbers. They could have been insurrectionists. We don't know exactly what evil they had done. But as we're introduced to them here, they don't have much time left. The horizon of their lives has become very, very short. Just a few hours. And with that very shortened horizon, friends, comes, as it were, a great degree of clarity. The veneer, the illusions, the false hopes have been shattered, have been exposed, they've been stripped away. And one of those two criminals, friends, had no hope. You hear it in his bitter sneer in verse 39. "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." It's not the expression of hope. It's not a hopeful cry. It is a sneer. It is a mocking insult. It is the bitter cry, friends, of a defeated man, of a man whose hope has been shattered. What is it that he had hoped in? Had his life of evil doing been a life to acquire material things and the pleasure of material things? Had his life of evil doing and crime been one of seeking pleasure, or perhaps to gain security for himself and maybe even those he loved? Had he done it just to build a reputation for himself? Was that what it was about? Or was he a revolutionary, an idealist, one who believed that by his deeds he could spur the nation of Israel to rise up and kick out the Romans and bring in a new era of prosperity and blessing for his people Israel? I don't know what he had hoped in. But whatever it was, friends, it was now crushed. It was shattered. The stark reality of death, the brutal fist of Rome, had put it to an end. And he is spending his last hours as a bitter, hopeless man. May I ask you this afternoon, what is your hope? May I ask you this afternoon, where does your hope really, really, truly lie? What do you look for your security in this life? What do you look for your significance? What do you look for lasting delight and pleasure? Well, if you're like me, you often get caught up perhaps in your performance. My security, my identity lies in whether my church is growing as a pastor. It lies perhaps in how well I'm preaching. Or as a parent, I get caught up in how well my children are doing in school. What have they achieved? How are they doing on the soccer field or the football field? I get caught up in these things. Maybe you get caught up in these things too. You begin to believe that your security and the significance of your life, the measure of your life, lies in your career success, or the address of your home, or the size of your car, or your bank account, or the achievements of your children. We fall into putting our hope in these things. And indeed, friends, many of those things are good things, things to be received with thanksgiving from our Father above. But friends, none of them are to be our ultimate hope. Each and every one of them will disappoint. Each and every one will disappoint. And the lesson, friends, of this first thief's life, this first criminal's life, is that to seek our security or our significance or our happiness in any of those things is going to end in bitterness and disappointment. And that is why, brothers and sisters, we must learn from the second thief. See, the first, a criminal here, friends, is one who had no hope. But the second criminal here is the one who had put all his hope in Jesus. This second criminal, he sees his life clearly. He says it in verse 40 and 41. Do not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly. This criminal, friends, recognizes that all the ways that he has sought his security and his significance and his happiness and pleasure apart from God and in disobedience to God, he recognizes that all of that life has brought him just here to hanging in agony upon a cross. He recognizes that it has brought him judgment and condemnation and death. And that indeed, friends, is the wages of all our sin. That is where putting our hope in all of these other things ultimately ends. The second criminal sees it clearly, but friends, he also sees Jesus. And he recognizes clearly who Jesus is as King. Jesus, in verse 42, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There's no other hope left, Jesus. Everything else that I had trusted in, everything else that I had hoped in, I see now it was a waste, it was a lie, it was meaningless. Jesus, remember me. Come into your kingdom. That is my only hope. It's the only hope for him, friends. It's the only hope for me. It is the only hope for you. Finding, friends, our strength and our security and our significance and our hope in Jesus and Jesus alone, in belonging to him, in communion with him. Finding our significance in doing his will and being his children. This, friends, is the only hope, the only lasting hope that is to be found. And this, brothers and sisters, is a hope that Jesus delights to honor. You see it in verse 43. Jesus replies to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It is this hope, this faith, that abandons all other, that fixes itself fully and completely on Christ alone. This is a hope that Jesus honors. And this is a hope, friends, that brings paradise. You remember that paradise is what was lost by our first parents, Adam and Eve. They lost it by their sin, by their rebellion, by their rejection of God as Father and King, by seeking their significance and security and pleasure and delight in something other than God. And you remember they were exiled from paradise. They were exiled from the place of dwelling with God, of living in communion with Him. No longer in the place of His blessing, they now find themselves under His condemnation. And you remember that God, at the end of chapter 3, makes clear His just judgment upon their sin and ours by putting a flaming sword there at the gate to paradise, back into Eden, saying that there is no entrance for you into paradise. There is no access to the tree of life. There is no way back into my blessing, except that there be a death. Except that blood be shed. And that, of course, friends, is exactly what our Savior is doing as He speaks these words to this thief. He is giving His life, His perfect life, His sinless life, that you, if you have trusted in Him, that I, as one who've trusted in Him, might be with Him back in paradise, might regain access to life and communion with our Father, might live again under His blessing, might find in God our fullness, our security, our significance, all of our delight and happiness. That is why, brothers and sisters, there is no other hope. There is no other hope that will last. May I ask you, friends, do you see as clearly as the thief on the cross saw? Oh, that is that criminal? Do you see your life as clearly as that second criminal saw yours? Do you recognize there is no other hope? Or could it be that that man hanging naked in agony upon the cross, but seeing the Lord Jesus, is in fact in a far better place than you today?